Chasing Big Joe on this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes, and always a pleasure to have our next guest on. He is the legendary Rudy Kalis, longtime sports anchor at Channel 4. Rudy, how the heck are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing fantastic, and we always love having you on. Joe said that you had a great Lou Holtz story that you wanted to share with us and the audience, so the floor is yours.
Well, I texted Joe this morning. I said, you didn't need me, because he said he remembered the story. But it was back in 1991 when Tennessee played against Notre Dame in South Bend. Because the game was on NBC, we drove our satellite truck there to South Bend. And we were there from Monday on. And I think Lou Holtz got tired of us. On Tuesday, he comes in, he roars up in a golf cart to practice. And, all right, it's a great day to practice. And things are not going real well. So for whatever reason, I'm thinking, oh, boy, we got an interview set up with him afterwards. He's not going to really enjoy this. So after practice in his office, we got it all set up. He storms in, slams the door. I said, Coach, if you want to hold this off, that would be fine with me. Be okay. He said, did you make this appointment? I said, yes, sir. And right now, you're the most important thing. Well, he did a really nice interview. Got to Wednesday, and it was snowing. It got to be snowing. It was great being around Notre Dame. I walked around campus. I felt like a student, an old student, but a student. So, and practice again. But now they, because of the weather, they've gone inside. I thought it was the first 100-yard inside football practice facility that I'd been in. And he's running some little plays around. Rick Meyer is the quarterback. And at one point, he does a little fake handoff and trots around to the right side. Lou Holtz turns to me, and he points at me, and he screams out, did you shoot that play? And I said, yeah, Coach, yeah, we did. Did you shoot that play? And I said, well, yeah, we did. He takes off his cap, son of a, yeah, boom, and throws it down. 100 guys, you're just here to spy on us. 100 guys stop practicing. They start milling around, getting closer. I said, Coach, he says, give me that tape. I said, Coach, we're not going to, I'm not going to give it to you. We don't have to use that. It's nothing. It was just a little handoff. Like, I'm telling you, they're spineless. Guys are milling around. I see these 100 football players. He storms around, walks in circles around me. Then he leans over to me and almost whispers in my ear, go ahead, use whatever you want. I'm telling you guys, they're just using it to fire it up and all that sort of stuff. And I said, I feel like I went to the principal's office and he chewed me out. But he used us to fire them up. He was great.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Rudy, I mean, could you imagine today getting access to a coach on a Tuesday or Wednesday to talk about a huge game like that? I mean, that just it shows you how different the times are from right now to back then.
You know, I really hadn't thought about it, but you're exactly right. Because, I mean, that Tuesday, he storms up, and we're able to shoot anything we want. And he was all ticked off. And then again, that interview, I had respect for that. He said, and then the thing on Wednesday, again, we were there from the beginning on. Never said anything we couldn't shoot. We were the only TV station. Even the local guys hadn't come out yet because we were there covering NBC. So in hindsight, you're exactly right. Those are different times, and Lou knew how to play it.
Rudy Kalis is with us, longtime Channel 4 sports anchor. Was that your only interaction with him?
Yeah, he came and spoke here at the Vanderbilt Club a time or two. I just said hello and didn't reintroduce myself. But as far as, like, interviews, yeah, that was the only time that we were with him. But it just being there, you know, sitting in the stands, and there's little narrow seats they've got in that stadium, and I look up the touchdown Jesus through the at the end of the stadium. It was a really neat experience. And, again, then because we had part of the day for me to walk into some of the buildings and into the chapel and to be part of the aura of Notre Dame was quite a thing. And then in the game, the press box up there was kind of a hanging old rickety thing that I thought would fall down at some point. Here the balls go down 31-7 in the first half and then blocked a field goal just before. And I think it was Craig Hendrick was the field goal kicker. I think he tore his ACL on that block kick.
Yeah, he did.
Wrong, but
you're right, he did.
So he did, and Floyd Miley brings it back 85 yards, and then they scored 21 points. The last was a little touchdown flare from Andy Kelly to Aaron Hayden, and they score, and they go ahead, and then they ticked. I think it was Jeremy Lincoln or some tipped a little 27-yard field goal at the end. It's as if touchdown Jesus was not coming for you today.
You know, Rudy, it's funny. I met Coach. I met him twice. First time I met him, I didn't. You know, you hear about how great he was and demonstrative he was and all that stuff. I was shocked at how small he was.
Yeah, he's a little thin guy. By the way, you just reminded me, I did meet the very this is stupid. The very first time I met him, I was doing Vanderbilt play-by-play in 1978 for basketball. We had flown down to, I'm not sure where it was, what SEC school. And I had to go in the bathroom, and I'm in the urinal next to Lou Holtz. I said, hey, Coach, how you doing? So we had a small conversation.
He probably never remembered that one there with that being said.
No.
But that's, you know. Go ahead.
You know, I was just going to say, with that little lisp of his, but he had a wicked sense of humor, and some folks didn't like him, but I just thought he was fascinating. He was a great storyteller.
Oh, he was. You know, and Rudy, when you get the access to somebody like that at a big moment in that game and the story that you just told us, it just shows you just how human that Lou Holtz was as a, I know it's as a coach. I mean, how down to earth he was and what he was trying to do, and that's just a fantastic story.
He's a real motivator, and I think the reason behind what he did with us in that practice was the year before, if I'm not mistaken, I think they were in the Orange Bowl against Colorado, and a TV guy from Colorado with a shotgun mic had gotten him saying something to his team about, we're going to kick their you-know-what and all that, and they played it back in Colorado on the TV station, and it really ticked them off. So I guess in his mind he's thinking maybe we're going to do that again, or he was just using us. But he was a whip of a guy. I always remember him. I think part of the interview he said, you know, God loves a fool, and he's taking a particular interest in me.
We're talking with Rudy Kalis, longtime sports anchor at WSMV Channel 4. Rudy, what was it like doing sports in Nashville when the focus was always the Vols or Vanderbilt, and there were no Titans, were no Preds. Did it give you a little bit of an opportunity to be more creative on some of your storytelling?
Absolutely. At that time, we had more time. We had, let's say, 6 o'clock an hour newscast. We had two sports segments. First one was about 20 minutes after the hour, and we did the local things, what was going on. And then about quarter till 7, we did a feature, 3-minute feature every day. What I loved most was we were able to, we'd go to Crookville, I'd find stories. That's when I would go skydiving or do something. And some of these stories, and we had more time. But, you know, when the Titans came, and which you see now, boy, the big dog, you got to feed it. You got to do Titans, Predators, or Tennessee Vols, then Predators probably in that order. And now Vanderbilt's doing well. But I really enjoyed it because we could, I did a rodeo story at UT Martin with my old buddy photographer, John Wilson. And that kind of stuff you just don't have time to do today.
Not only that, but, back in those days, the relationships you had with country music stars, I know you and Vince Gill are very tight. That doesn't happen anymore because everybody's busy, everybody's got an agenda. But back then, you were Marty Robbins, Vince Gill. These guys were friends.
Marty Robbins would race at the Fairground Speedway, and even if he was leading, there's a story, he pulled it in and ran away because he had to be at the Opry House to sing. So and we would always be, I'd get blown away. You go somewhere and one of these people would, Vince, I got to know on a golf course out here in Nashville, but that they would, oh, wait a minute, you live in this town. Hey, I know you. And I felt, wow, I didn't realize y'all were watching.
Rudy, speaking of the fairgrounds, I know that's a place that's near and dear to you. The Cars Tour is coming there on April 11th. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is going to race in it. You talk about people that love the fairgrounds and want to save that place. That can help having Dale Jr. run that place.
Yeah. That reminded me, and I think it was 96. We were driving down to the fairgrounds where we were going to do a story and see this huge bellowing flames and smoke and raced inside there. And it was his car that had caught on fire. This was during practice, and it was completely, destroyed. It was just up in flames. And I did an interview with him with the flames going on behind him at the time. He was a young guy wanting to race. But the fact that he's putting his support behind it, I'm completely behind the Fairgrounds Speedway. I want them to be able to, and I think it's a great thing that they're bringing them in. I always thought the beauty of let Bristol Motor Speedway work that place and make it right and make it beautiful as they said they would, and then do the NASCAR All-Star race here, like with a fanfare experience every year, and you blow this thing out of the water.
Wow. So to that story, I think this is right. When that his car got destroyed, he ended up running the race in a Bobby Hamilton car that had 43 on the side, and they covered the four up to just put three on the door. But he had to call his dad to make sure it was okay because it was a Ford. And so So Dale Sr. had to bet because they had this deal with Chevrolet and GM and all that stuff. And so Dale Sr. basically said, take all the Ford decals off of it and don't mention it. And that's basically what they did. He went and ran the race, and the rest is history. But he's told that story before, and that was the thing that stood out to me was that he had to call and ask his dad to make sure it was okay because it was a Ford.
That is such a good memory on your part. I forgot, because now that you're saying it, he said that part of the interview because Bobby Hamilton had come in and said, and Bobby was such a wonderful guy, said, I can let you use a car, and you've got the rest of it right. Isn't that something? Those are the days. Oh, man.
Yes, indeed. Rudy, it is a pleasure to talk to you. Glad everything is going well, and we'll do it again soon.
Oh, thanks. You guys do great. Love listening to you.
Well, thank you very much. Rudy Kalis, the legendary sports anchor at WSMV Channel 4 for many, many years, joining us here on the show, and always love talking to him. That's good stuff.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the memories. I mean, Rudy is such a dear friend. And I remember when I went to Channel 4, Rudy had moved to the morning show, and my main thing was, don't say I'm replacing Rudy.
Yeah.
I mean, I was adamant.
Yeah.
You don't replace Rudy, Pat Summitt, Nick Saban. You don't follow those people, right? You just don't. I'm like, I am not following you. I am just going to work there. And so that was top of mind for me because there's no way I wanted any comparison to how great Rudy is.
615-737-1025. It is Chase and Big Joe. We're live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel. More coming next on 102.5 The Game.